fits in with what we're going to be talking about is the fact that we all struggle, and talking about the struggles of life here. So we're going to be talking about struggles. And so what I'd like you to write down, if you would, maybe a couple columns or two different lists, however you want to do this, but the one, I want you to write down, what are some things that you want to do that you often do not do? What are some things that you really want to do that often you find yourself not doing? And I'll just give some examples. I want to eat better. I want to exercise more. I would like to pray more. There's one that I know I feel for myself. There are times I feel like I really want to pray more. And I don't always do that. And so what are those things for you? These are things I want to do that I find myself sometimes not doing. I want to give more money maybe to the church or give more money to a charity or something, and I don't always do that. The things you want to do that you don't always do or don't often do. Then the next column, I want you to write down, what are some things you don't want to do? These are the things I'm really trying not to do, but I end up doing them. Things I don't want to do that I end up doing anyway. Some examples I think of: complaining. I really don't want to complain, and yet I find myself sometimes complaining to my wife or to my friends. getting angry. I really told myself I don't want to get angry, and yet I find myself still getting angry sometimes. Or maybe there's a particular sin that you've struggled with, something that you've done and you've had victory over sometimes, but then sometimes you come back to it. Just write down those things that these are the things I don't want to do, but I end up doing. So two or three things in each column, if you would. Then we're going to kind of refer back to, I'm not going to have you share them, so don't worry about that today. I'm not going to do that. But just for you to think about. So let me read a passage from Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. See if this sounds familiar to you. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. And we'll talk about that in a moment. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. It's not an easy passage to read, as you can tell. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in a sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Does that sound a little familiar? As you're writing down the things that you want to do that you don't do often, and the things you don't want to do that you end up doing. So there are several interpretations. There are many people who have written about this, and some look at this passage and say, oh, this was Paul as a non-Christian. Paul wasn't saved yet. That's why he was struggling with all this sin. Now we know in verses 7 to 13, he is talking about himself as a non-Christian. But the interesting thing in verses 14 to 25, he's using the present tense. So in 7 to 13, he used the past tense. Now he's talking about the present. So it really doesn't fit in some of the context. I delight in God's law. It doesn't sound like a non-Christian. It doesn't sound like a non-believer. Well, some have said, well, this is Paul as a what we call a carnal Christian, an immature Christian. He hasn't grown up yet. One of these days he'll grow up and he'll be more mature and he won't struggle like this anymore. And again, it really doesn't fit with the context. It doesn't fit with Paul's life. Now he's talking about himself somehow as an immature Christian. Actually, the present tense is telling us, and my view is, this is Paul as a present believer talking about his present personal struggles. Paul, as a believer, talking about... Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I kind of struggle with that. I want to put Paul way up here. And I had one pastor one time, he said during a sermon, Paul was so spiritual that when he died, he just had a little, you know, and he was in heaven. You know, it wasn't much at all to get him over the top. He was that close to God. And yet I read Romans 7, and it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like he struggled. And so why is it you think people want to say, well, that was Paul as a non-Christian, or that was Paul as an immature Christian. It wasn't Paul as a mature believer talking about his struggles. Why do you think people want to take the first two views? This is where you get to talk now. Why do you think that is? Why we have a hard time believing that Paul struggled like that. Yeah, that somehow we'd like to think maybe one day I'll get to the place where he was and then I won't have to struggle anymore. What else? Okay. I have trouble with that too. I keep putting off trying to deal with that though. That's the problem with procrastinating. Yeah. Yeah. Why is it we have a hard time believing? And I think you're right. It goes back to, I want to somehow believe that somebody made it. Somebody got there. And maybe one day if I try hard enough, I can get there too. And so where I want to start today is, this is the normal experience of a believer. This is what Paul's telling us. The normal experience of a believer, that we're going to struggle. And what I want to do today is look at, this is actually a positive thing rather than a negative thing. Because as a psychologist, as a counselor, I deal with people who struggle. And one of the things they say is, I want to get over my struggle. And not that saying that we don't want to try to do that. And there are certain things we can have victory over. But this idea of, I want to somehow get to a place where I'll never struggle again. I want to get to this place where maybe I can be perfect, or I can have it all together. And that's a tough way of living. Why is that? Why is that a tough way of, I want to get to a place where I'm perfect. I got it all handled. I'm not struggling anymore. I got it all taken care of. Why is that a tough way of living? It's never going to happen. Okay. You're going to say something? Yeah. Never going to happen. Well, they say a perfectionist, they take great pains and then give them to others. Have you ever heard that that expression? Well, I think sometimes that this idea, we try so hard. And what happens is we end up putting a lot of pressure on ourselves. We put a lot of pressure on other people. We try to be something we can't be. We then try to pretend to be something we aren't. And so it leads to other problems and other struggles, even though we're trying to be perfect. So what I want to do is I just want to look at this passage and point out a few things that I've gleaned from Romans chapter 7. And hopefully in the end, it'll provide, I think, something positive and some hope for us as we deal with our story. And again, I don't want you to hear that there aren't times we can have victory and aren't times we can get on top of sin, because there's certain things we want to try to deal with. But I know with certain places in my life where even when I've dealt with that problem, later on, then I have new problems to deal with. And so, yeah, how do I look at all that? So the first thing is what Paul's trying to say here, sin is powerful. Sin is powerful. I mean, Paul's a pretty good Christian, and he's saying, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm going through. And so he talks about the sin nature. The sin nature is something that we're born with. I was thinking about your little guy here. He's born with something, and we're all born with it. And the sin nature is sort of this inherited belief. We get it from our moms and dads, and we get it from Adam and Eve. And so all of us collectively get this thing called the sin nature. And this inherited belief that says, there is no God. I'm God. I'll be in control of my own life. And there'll be no negative consequences. I'll do life my own way. I don't need to follow God. And there'll be no negative consequences. Now think about it. What are the first, maybe not the first two words, but close to the first two words that kids learn growing up? One of them is no, right? And that's not all bad. Sometimes no is a way of saying, you know, I want to have good boundaries in my life. But sometimes no can be, what, defiance. No, I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to listen to authority. I don't want any parents. I'll run my own life, right? If you have a 2 and 3-year-old, you know what I'm talking about, right? If you ever, that many times that defiant no, I'm going to do it my way. And then the other one is mine. That everything's about me and my whole world is centered around me. So some of the first two words that kids learn, no and mine. I'm my own authority. I'll run my own life, thank you. And everything's about me. And we have, as parents, the Bible says we have to try to work on that. We have to help them learn how to share and how to think about others. And it's not all about you. And that authority is a good thing, right? That listening to those who know some things that you don't, it's a good thing. And so when you look at Scripture here, Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but it leads to death. There's a way that seems right. The sin nature says, just do what seems right. And so we have a world right now saying, just do what seems right. And yet God says, no, don't go that way. Because the way that seems right leads to death. It leads to away from God. And then in Proverbs 22:15, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. That's what we're talking about. Foolishness says, there is no God. I'm my own God. I'll run my own life. I'll be my own authority. And there'll be no negative consequences. Everything will go well. And so the Bible says, as parents, we're supposed to drive out that foolishness. Now, I don't know whenever we're going to get that out completely, but we need to help them realize God's way is the better way. God's way does work. And you're not your own authority. And it's not all about you. And they have to learn what it is to love God and love others and to give and to serve. And those are all things that we have to help them learn because they probably won't learn those things on their own. So sin is powerful. And even as mature Christians, we all know that. I want you to look at your list again. Just look at your list and see how powerful sin is. That the things I want to do that I know that are good, I don't always do them. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing those things. And the older I get, the more I'm aware of this. I don't think the older I get, the more I'm sinning. I just think the older I get, the more I'm aware that these things are true. You remember the story where Christ said, you without sin cast the first stone? You remember who left first? In the crowd, who left first? Anybody remember who? It was the older ones. The older ones. The older ones in the crowd went, well, I know I'm not without sin, so I'm out of here. And I think the older we get, the more we realize, yeah, I thought maybe by this point in my life, I thought at age 58, okay, I'd have this dealt with, and I would be, you know, this close, and I wouldn't struggle as much. And yet I find as I get older, I just have either new struggles, or I still struggle with some things from the past, or they come up again when I thought I had them dealt with. And I realize how powerful sin can be. So that's the first thing. Secondly, Paul says, I can't fully explain it. Look at verse 15 there. I do not understand what I do. Have you ever thought about that? Of some of these things that we end up doing that we don't want to do, they happen at times where maybe things are going well in life. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people in counseling, and they've said, I don't know why I did that, because things were going so well. Things were going well in my marriage, or things going well at work, or things going well in my life. Why would I choose to engage in that behavior? And even we psychologists don't always understand it. Okay, we can't figure it all out. We try to come up with theories, but the bottom line, Paul says, I don't understand why I do some of the things that I do. I don't understand why I don't get on top of some things. Even Paul couldn't figure it out. So sometimes we just can't fully explain why it's so powerful. Thirdly, Christians and non-Christians both struggle, but the struggle is different. Christians and non-Christians both struggle, but that struggle is a little different. What do non-Christians struggle with? Well, the enemy for them is God. They struggle with God. They struggle with, should I follow Him? Should I believe in the Bible? Should I follow what the Bible teaches? And so their enemy is God, and their struggle is with God. That's not true with Christians. With Christians, the struggle is with sin. Our enemy is not God. We love God. We want to follow God. We want to do the right thing. And then there are times where we don't. And so we have a different struggle. We struggle with sin. And here's a part I want you to get today. Part of how you know you're a Christian is your struggle with sin. Part of how you know you are a Christian is your struggle with sin. Rather than going, I must be a horrible person, a terrible person, and look how I'm struggling. No, it means you're really trying to do the right thing, and sometimes you don't. And there's actually something positive. In fact, one writer puts it this way, a Christian is known by his warfare as well as by his peace. I like that. A Christian is known by his warfare as well as by his peace. That is actually saying there's something good going on in your soul, and it was what? I delight in God's law. I want to do the right thing. I want to follow. And yet, sometimes I don't. Here's the other thing I noticed here. No solution is given. Now, in my field, in psychology, counseling, we like to have books of, here are 5 steps to victory. Here are 10 ways of getting out of your depression. Here are 5 steps to handling your anxiety. We like all the self-help books, right? We like all the books that give the answers. They're not saying that they don't have some things that are helpful and some things that are true. Because there are some sins that I've been able to deal with in my life and been able to handle, and you have those things in your life as well. But Paul doesn't give 5 steps to how to get out of this. No solution is given. What do you do with that? What do you make of that? That Paul doesn't give, okay, here are 5 things to do and you won't struggle anymore. What do you think he's trying to tell us? It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And so what is his answer? What does he say? This is the part I really want you to get today. What's the answer to our struggle? What does he say? Yeah, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Gratitude, thankfulness is the answer. And it goes something like this. God, I'm a mess. Paul says, wretched man that I am. Remember a book out years ago, some of you who are older might remember the book, called I'm Okay, You're Okay? Well, actually, there should be a book called I'm a Mess, You're a Mess. Right? But, yeah, this idea of, no, I'm okay. You see, what we want to do is we want to minimize it. We want to deny it. And what are the ways we deny our sinfulness? What are the ways we minimize it? What's that? Make excuses. You know, I was having a bad day. You know, it was raining outside. I live in Indiana. You know, that's why. What else? How do we deny and minimize? Yeah, look at all the good things. Look at all, how much of a good person I am. And I'm better than most, right? I'm better than most people. What else? How do we deny and minimize? What's that? Yeah. Or even to compare myself with how I used to be. I used to be a lot worse. I'm a lot better now. Okay. Or I compare myself with other people. I find some way of saying, I'm not that bad. I'm really okay. And we live in a world, especially a world talking a lot about self-esteem and that is, and I'm not saying that, again, there's a time for that, but then there's a time where we really don't look at ourselves the way we really are. And Paul says, wretched man that I am. Now notice, he doesn't move to self-contempt. He doesn't say, oh, I'm horrible, terrible, I can't be used by God, I'm no good. He then says, wretched man that I am, let me face it, this is who I am. Thanks be to Christ. That's the part I want you to get. And so here's what I think Paul is trying to say. I want you to face who you really are. We're all sinful and we struggle with sin. We're not the people we want to be. And it's all taken care of. Thanks be to Christ. And yet, look what he then says. So then, his conclusion, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. He ends with struggle. Thanks be to Christ. It's all taken care of. It's all done. Oh, by the way, you're still going to struggle. And then, the grand conclusion, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, I hope you get that today. Therefore, the grand conclusion, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you still struggling? You still having things that you don't like in your life? Still having things that you're wrestling with? You know what? God knows that. And it's all taken care of at the foot of the cross. And God looks at us and says, I know you feel bad about it. Which, by the way, He wants us to feel bad about our sin. But then He takes our head, as we have our head down, He takes our head and He lifts it up. And He says, you know what? You're forgiven. And you're loved. And you're useful to my purposes. Now get out there and try again. But Lord, if I do that, I'm going to fail. Oh, I know you will. And when you do, I want you to feel bad about it and confess that. When your head goes down, just remember, I'm right there. I'm going to lift it back up and say, I love you and you're forgiven. And get back out there and try again. And sometimes you're going to succeed. Sometimes you're going to love your spouse well and love your kids well. And sometimes you're going to do well at work. And when you have those times of victory, enjoy those. But when you have those times where you fail, just remember, I'm there. And I love you. And I forgive you. and it's all taken care of, and heaven is yours. I want you to hear that. Heaven is yours. I'm not asking you to work your way into salvation. I'm not asking you to work to somehow be good enough to finally be acceptable to God, because none of us are ever going to get there. All because of what Christ did for you. It's done. The cross is enough. Isn't that great to hear? That somehow I don't have to get on top of it. And yet, He wants us to try hard. He wants us to work at. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. At the same time, the answer is not, here are the five steps. The answer is, thanks be to Christ. It's all taken care of. So, what do we take away from Romans 7? You will struggle with sin. It's part of the normal Christian experience. In fact, if you're struggling, it's a good sign. It's a positive sign. It means you're really trying to do the right thing, and you have a heart that says, I want to follow God. Your enemy is not God. Your enemy is sin. Accept it, but don't like it. Accept it that this is going to be a part of me. This is going to be a part of my life. I'm going to struggle no matter how old I get, no matter how long I've been a Christian. But it doesn't mean I have to like it. In fact, I'm supposed to feel bad about it. Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do the things that hurt you, that grieve your spirit. I'm sorry about that. But then hear Him say, I know. I forgive you. I love you. And I'm with you to try it again. In fact, Romans 8 says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Isn't that great? Nothing. No matter what you struggle with, no matter how long you've been involved in that struggle, nothing can separate you from the love of God. So continue to battle. Remember, there's a war within. But remember, in that battle, there's something very, very positive. It leads you to God's grace. It leads you to being dependent on God. It leads you to realize that the cross is enough. And boy, that's what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Just the fact that we will struggle. And I don't know all the things that people struggle with us in the room. I can guess. I know what my struggles are. I can guess what their struggles are. And Father, you just give us the hope that says it's all taken care of. The cross is enough. We are forgiven. We're loved. You want us to work at these things. But the fact of the matter is there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We can't thank you enough for that. We can't thank you enough that it's not about us. It's about you and what you've done for us. And Father, help us to get a hold of that so that our heart now wants to follow you, to obey you, to worship you, to be close to you, not run away from you. To realize what you've done for us. When we're a mess, you loved us anyway. And you want to use us for your service and for your glory. That's amazing. Help us, Father, to believe that. That we don't move to minimizing. We don't move to self-contempt. We face ourselves the way we really are. And then we thank you that you've taken care of it. And that heaven is ours. And we don't have to do anything more to get that. Thank you for that. Thank you for your word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you again for having me today.